Thank you. Wow, wasn't that beautiful? That was Terrence Blanchard. Ash, A-S-H-E. So I believe that's how you pronounce it, Ash. Terrence Blanchard. Amazing, amazing trumpet player. I think he did some of the music. He's done a lot of Spike Lee stuff. I think he might have done some stuff on the Mo' Better Blues soundtrack. I know Branford was on there, but I think Terrence was on there as well. He's just an amazing trumpet player. And he was really going for it. He was feeling that. I'd love to know the story behind what he was doing there. So it's been a long time since I've done one of these. I got to be honest, I have not wanted to create any content for anything. I haven't been blogging, haven't been writing, haven't been doing shit. I've had a lot of things that I've been procrastinating writing, but I just didn't want to. So today I finally got down and I said, look, I've got all of these drafts that I've been neglecting. Why don't I just get to them? So I've been getting to them. And feels good, tell you the truth, to get back into it and have a schedule, a prolific schedule. I enjoy being prolific, and when I'm not creating, I'm not a happy camper, which is kind of where I'm at today. So I'm just checking in. I've been up to a lot. Got a lot coming up. Let's see what's coming up. Tomorrow is the beginning of PodCamp Boston. I'm pretty excited about that, even though I'm in a little bit of an introverted, antisocial phase. It'll be good for me to stretch my, test my edge. I've got a project, Logic Studio Training, that I'm working on that I really want to get off the ground, and I think I'll learn some cool things, probably make some good connections, get some good advice while I'm there. So I'm gonna try and get as much out of it as possible. So that's coming up. My brother's wedding's coming up November 17th, or is it the 16th? It's that Saturday. I always forget the date, which means I believe next weekend is going to be the bachelor party in New York City. So that's coming up kind of fast. I thought it was supposed to be the weekend after, but it didn't work out for his friends. So next week, I guess I'm going to New York City, and hopefully that'll all work out, and it won't cost me $1,000. Getting married, whew, man, it's tough on me. I can't imagine how tough it is on my brother. So I really shouldn't be complaining yet. I think the burden is relatively high for both of us. But it's going to be worth it. It's going to be a great time. The entire family's going to be there. My dad's going to be there, who I haven't seen in a few years. So I'm looking forward to it. And uncles and aunts from overseas, from Scotland, will be there. I'm not exactly sure who else is going to be showing up, but it's going to be great. I'm looking forward to it. So that's what's coming up. I thought the best way to figure out what I've been up to was to check out what I've been digging. So I'm looking on Dig. And the most recent thing I dug was an article by Puddlegum, who's a Twitter friend of mine, on our entitlement mentality, an artist's perspective on music piracy. And it's basically backing up the artist, saying, look, man, you're stealing our music. And I totally agree with him in some regards, and others I don't. But I definitely fight against the people that think music should just be free. Lots of comments on there saying that it should just be free, that because it doesn't cost anything to produce. But they're not taking into consideration everything that led up to the step, to the point where the art was finally created and able to be, ripped onto an MP3. I mean, really think about it. An artist, if you want to be a musician, you've got to practice your butt off. Most of the time, you have to get a job while you're practicing your butt off. So you're working two jobs. So I believe that does entitle you once you get good and once you're worthy. And if you've worked hard enough and you produce a product or content that people enjoy, I do believe that, you're worth more than the $10 an hour job, right? And think about how many hours you put into not just the writing of, say, a single song, but the craft of perfecting songwriting, the craft of perfecting your instrument, and I mean, not even perfecting, but becoming good. Man, it takes so much time and energy. So we as musicians are working twice as hard than the average person. So therefore, we should get more than average salaries. Do we need to have Bentleys? No. But why shouldn't we have Bentleys? you know, there's nothing wrong with that per se. It doesn't mean like because this person has a Bentley, then because this person doesn't have a Bentley, like say a teacher, for instance, then a musician shouldn't have a Bentley. Well, that's not, I don't know what that's called, but that's not good logic. I believe the teacher should definitely have Bentleys. Everything that, actually, not the teachers, good teachers. Because I'll tell you what, most of the teachers I had did not deserve Bentleys. They didn't even deserve cars. They deserved to be whipped on the way to school for the job they did. There were some teachers that they deserved to be driven with a chauffeur, and I'll give it to them. So yeah, you earn the income, but we can't. All of the logic that's being played here is definitely, there's shadow in it. Okay, there's shadow going on. People are stealing and they're rationalizing it, and artists aren't realizing that the game has changed. And you've got to kind of come up with a new way. Yeah, you should be giving away stuff for free, and your stuff is going to go for free. But again and again, the honor system is shown to work, like with this whole new Radiohead thing, which has just happened, that where you can pay whatever you want. I paid, I ended up paying £3, $3, excuse me. I believe it was a pound something or whatever that or a dollar that I said I'd pay for it, which I thought is what it was worth. You know, give me a dollar, I'll give you a dollar, you give me the whole album, because I know I'm not going to listen to the whole album a lot. I'll probably find a couple things that I'll listen to a lot. So I feel that it was worth that. If everyone else pays something similar to that, it should work out. And they're apparently going to make a killing. They're going to do very well based on this. I ended up paying $3 because it was the conversion rate. So to me, that was worth it. And there's other artists, I can't think of the names, but I've blogged it. If you look on my blog, my music blog, there's an artist that has done really well, and she ends up making, on average, more than what she would make on iTunes, or more than what iTunes charges. You know, normally you would make less than what they charge because they take a big cut. But she actually ends up making more than what iTunes charges, so more than $1 a song on average. And she's definitely a performance artist, interesting music. It's not your average pop song that's got the hook and chorus and that's going to do great in a dance floor or anything like that. It's unique music. It's unusual music, and yet she's doing very well. So kudos to her. The model can be made sustainable to live a good quality lifestyle and have some luxury to your life, because you don't have to suffer to make music. That's some more arguments, is that once musicians start doing really well and financially rich, their music sucks. That's not true by any means. Bruce Springsteen, U2, all of these great artists that are completely rich keep putting out great music. So we're making false comparisons, and we're a lot of the time saying because of this, this is so, and it's just not that simple. Yes, the model needs to change. You don't get the model needs to change. You should be supporting the artist. I made a whole bunch of notes, but okay, here's one point. Spending a year on an album doesn't make much sense anymore. You don't need everything to have superior sound quality, because most people listen to MP3. So spending all of that, those thousands of dollars, getting it mastered, getting everything, excuse me. You know, some things deserve to be mastered, but not everything deserves to be mastered like that. So it doesn't make a lot of sense to spend so much on the quality when you can get good quality, which is what we should be giving away, good stuff, and selling the great stuff. And the good stuff, you know, if it's good, it will help. It will make people want to support you in various ways. But it doesn't make sense to spend a year on it when you can get a song out there fast. You know, within a month, you can have a song done easily. And that's if just one person is doing it. Just Apple loop it if you've got to. you can still make great content, but you work with what you have. Sure, you would like this guy to master it, you'd like this guy playing the bass, you'd like all of these parts, but I mean, when you get there, okay? In the meantime, use what you've got, make it sound good, and give it away. Content creation needs to be fast. This is my second point. Followers, readers, and subscribers, they want your first thoughts as well as your composed and edited thoughts. So bust out content fast, send it out there, and work on some other stuff and edit it, make it better, massage it, do what you've got to do to get it perfect, then send it out, get it mastered, and say, now this is the cream of the crop. This is what I would really appreciate if you paid me a buck for, because it cost me this much to make, and it wasn't just me alone. It was a team that did it, and I've got to pay these people and this. So I'm going to do this, try out the honor system on that, on those tracks. Cost for recording materials have dropped, and it's easier to make a good sounding recording now. So, you know, so you don't have to charge $15 an album or a CD, because CDs are, you know, pretty much obsolete anyway. So the cost should definitely come way down for the consumer. For albums make sense only as a once in a while thing. Consumers want singles. We go and we pay for the single, because majority of the time the rest of the songs suck. So give the singles your first thoughts, sell them albums or compilations when they are worthy of an album, not just I've got 10 songs, I'm going to put them together as an album and sell it. No, the whole thing is a meaningful, coherent piece of music that someone is going to have to sit down for 45 minutes and listen to solid. That, you know, takes some commitment. It requires commitment on both sides to create the album that's going to be a coherent whole, and for the listener who's going to sit there for 45 minutes and give it undivided attention. So we both will probably want to pay into that situation and make it as good as it possibly can be. Five, you don't need a record label to promote your music. The internet has leveled the playing field in some regards. Marketing, word of mouth, networking, this will all do for you, will do more for you, and you can do it yourself and ask your followers to help if you build some sort of viral marketing in there. This is the part that's being created right now. It's not out there. There's no model out there to, or if there is, I don't know of it. I can't point you to it. That is exactly how it works. Radiohead's seeing so much success simply because they've been popular for a very long time. So, that's not the norm. That's not, I'm not going to be able to go out there and do that. But I can build a viral system in there which would help spread it, help create word of mouth, without having to pay a marketing firm to do all of the marketing for me, and allow that to work while I sleep, so I can continue to dream and record great music and write great music and come up with great ideas. And practice and get better, because it's not all just about the actual performance or the actual execution. It's about getting to the point where you can execute at a high level. And a lot of people forget that's what we have to do in order to make the music that you want to listen to. Help us out. Help us out. Sure, I download tons of music. I also buy music. So I get it. I fully get it. I feel like I'm getting dicked by the record companies and these bands that are on, record labels that want to charge so much for an album that I'm going to listen to once, because it's just not that great. So I'm not going to pay for that. But there's some stuff that's rare and more important and exclusive, and I will pay for that. I've got tons of rationalizations around this too. But I'm speaking from an artist. I can say that you shouldn't get it free. Just because it's duplicatable for free doesn't mean that you should get it for free. It means that you have to support the artist, or the artist won't be able to make any music. You have no idea, if you're not an artist, what it's like to work a job 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, and then when you get home, not only have a personal life and maybe have a girlfriend, maybe get laid once in a while, but also be working on your craft, being working on your writing, your playing, your singing, your being as a whole that comes up with these ideas, you know, clearing that vessel. All of these things require so much energy. And on top of that, you're doing a job. I can tell you how hard it is that if you think you should get it for free, fuck you. That's all there is to it. That being said, I'm going to give you so much stuff for free. I'm going to give you my first thoughts for free. I'm going to give you tons of edited thoughts for free. I'm going to ask you to pay for some stuff here and there. And when I'm going to ask you to pay for it, I'm going to hope that you will. Because that's the exchange of value. If you get value out of it, pay me. If you don't, then don't worry about it. But don't seed it. Whatever you do, don't seed it unless you have paid me. Unless you have said it's valuable and no, just don't seed it. All right? Download it when I give it to you for free. Don't seed the stuff I give you and ask money for. And I'm not even asking anything yet, because truly I don't think that anything I've put out there is worthy of getting money back. That's not true. I have put stuff that I think is worthy of money back. But you know what? I'm giving it away anyway, because I just need people to subscribe. I need people to follow. I need people to say, to give me feedback and at least say that I hate it or I love it. Something. So I can know if I'm on the right direction, because this is a communication between two people. I'm not just writing just for myself. I'm writing for somebody. I'm writing for somebody that I want to hear it, and I'm hoping that it affects them in a certain way, the listener, you, in a certain way. And I want to know that I've succeeded. I want to know in what ways I need to change in order to evoke the responses that I want. And one of those responses I want to evoke is, yes, please pay me, because I'm struggling over here trying to make ends meet. That's it. All right, that's enough on that rant. I'm going to put that all into a blog post somehow. So thanks for listening. I'm going to get this, into a cohesive, concise framework. What else has been going on? Dumbledore's gay. I think that's really shitty of her, actually. Not that I think being gay is there's anything wrong with that, but leave something for the reader. If you didn't say he was gay in the book, then how can he actually be gay? That's what I don't get. What if you didn't write it in there? Then what's the point coming out afterwards and saying, "Oh, by the way, he's gay. Oh, by the way, I didn't mean that. Oh, by the way, Harry was a girl." No, you said he was a boy. And by not saying things, you're essentially saying that they are, these things that are now you're saying are true. By not saying them in the book, you can't say that those are true. And it just kind of, it's not making much sense, I know, but maybe it is. It pisses me off, because you write the book, now leave it alone. And don't be surprised when people are upset or shocked. Anyone that you've come to know and love, like a character in a book, when they come out to you, it's a shocking experience. You don't know necessarily how to deal with it, because you've thought of things in a certain way for so long. I thought that Dumbledore, was probably an asexual wizard, but I actually would have thought wizard might want a little tail now and then. Now that I know he's gay, I don't care. That's fine, man. Totally. It's totally fine. But I think it's shitty the way you did it. I think it's shitty that you didn't leave it for the reader to decide. And you came and you outed him without him outing himself. And you, of course, you write the characters, but he didn't out himself in the book. So why are you outing him now? What point are you trying to make? What crusade are you on? And how are you fucking with the experience of these kids that don't get all of this? They're not enlightened. They have parents that have issues. And, now their parents are... there's already enough of an issue with the fact that so many conservative Christians are upset because of the wizardry. They believe that it's, devilish and stuff. So do you have to do you have to make this into another crusade for your own benefit? Couldn't you just write the book and let the readers love the book and not have to then rewrite it? And you are as bad as George Lucas going in and changing his movies and making Han Solo shoot first, because it's not PC for Han Solo to have shot the alien before the alien before the alien pulled his pistol out. That's fucking lame. You know, we loved it the way it was, and now you want to make it morally better? What are you doing? Just leave it alone. And so that's all I'll say on that. It's fucked up the way she did it, if you ask me. Not that I care. Dumbledore, you're gay. Beautiful. I still love you. I still think you're great. Red Sox are in the World Series. Here's another, you know, something that people said would never happen. And coming from Colorado, they're fucking playing the... Well, I got a potty mouth. Not that I care. Let me get it out of my system. And they're playing the Rockies. How crazy is that? So, you know, I'm not a big baseball fan, but I'm a Boston fan now. I'm from Boston. I'm so happy to see the Red Sox here. The town is a buzz with it. It's great. And I hope they win. I'd love to see a better World Series, because when they were coming back from behind, you know, 3-1, when they were coming there and they had to win three more games, they had... in a row, that was exciting, because you were on your edge. Even when they, you know, totally knocked those last couple games out of the park, it was still something where, like, they could lose. Here, this is, come on, this is what was it, 12-1, 13-1? I don't even remember, but it was just ridiculous and not exciting to watch. So I hope that changes tonight. What else is going on? My iPhone. I hacked my iPhone. I couldn't wait for them to pull so I don't know if I said, I don't even know if I mentioned this. So I had my iPhone hacked. I hacked my iPhone. And I had some cool apps on there. I had a dictionary and thesaurus. I'm like, yes, this is going to help. I had a voice recorder, which I had begun to use. I'm like, yes. Some of the things I couldn't believe weren't included on the iPhone. So I hacked it, and I had some of these things, great, and it was awesome. And then 1.1.1 comes out, the update, firmware update, and totally it removes all my hacks, removes everything custom ringtones, and I ended up having to do a full restore, which meant my email wasn't synced anymore. So now I had to delete, like, seriously, over 3,000 Gmail messages. That fucking pissed me off. Made me hate my iPhone for a while. I stopped playing with it because, I mean, what good was it? You know, the browser, yeah, okay, but you can only surf the internet so much until you're bored, and it just wasn't all that functional. Or it was functional, but there was no bells and whistles that I wanted to play with. How many times can you check your email a day, check the weather a day, check your stocks, which I have none a day, watch YouTube videos? Oh, great. It was boring as shit, and the only thing they added was now I get to, you know, buy more music, which I don't want to be spending more money on music right now. So I was disappointed with the update, and I knew that eventually I'd be able to upgrade and hack it, and I finally went for it. I just said, okay, how do you do this? And it was easy, but it's now a little, it's unstable. Summerboard doesn't seem to be working that well with 1.1.1. Even though everything's supposed to, which was just a recent enhancement. So I'm not, you know, and I've got it's rather small, you don't see it, but in certain things you can see it, this scratch on the front, and I'm not sure how that happened. No idea, because I haven't been dropping it. I keep it in my pocket, but with nothing else, so I don't know what it came into contact with that scratched it, but it's bummed me out a little bit. So the experience of the iPhone is bumming me out, even though would I go back to a BlackBerry or a regular cell phone? Hell no. But I do expect a bit more. And that the hacking of it, the extra functionality, has just made it unstable right now. So I'm a little bit bummed about that. But at least I have voice recording, so if shit comes to me, I can get it down. I have iChat on there, so if I need to, you know, stay in contact with people, I can. What else is going on? Katie's birthday's coming up. I'm going to try and do something special for that within my means, which bums me out. You know, that bums me out, and my whole brother thing. I should be the one going there to make sure that he doesn't have to, like, you know, I should be greasing everybody's palms, making sure everything goes smoothly. That's what the best man does, and that's what this best man can't do. Katie's birthday, the best man, or the man, should be able to take her out and just show her how much she means to me. And this one is going to have to do the best he can. And hopefully I'll be able to do the best I can and not let this get me down. But it's a little bit, I'm feeling a little bit frustrated right now. Feeling a lot like a failure. All right. Bottom line, I'll just say it. I want a do-over, okay? I want a do-over. If I had it to do over, I would have done so many things differently. And that's driving me crazy. I really need to look at those choices and find out what I can do now and start my life over right now. Okay, without getting too down, what else have I been digging? I don't know. There's a lot going on right now. I didn't talk about the whole Burma thing. That shit's crazy. The fires going on in California. That's insane. We're running out of water on the East Coast. That's a little bit scary, wouldn't you say? Crazy times. These are crazy times, but I'm trying to get it back together myself, personally. You know, maybe the environment actually is affecting me. I don't want to rationalize away, you know, what could be some real important stuff for me to face. But at the same time, my environment is a part of me. And it's not to be neglected. And it's not to be overlooked. And it's not to rationalize everything out, you know, my responsibility away, but it is to be integrated. So, you know, these are trying times. We are at war, and it does affect people, and I'm glad that it does. I don't want everything to be rosy while we're at war. That's fucked up. You know, stop it. Just, it's time to get out. And so I'm glad that changes are happening. Hopefully for us as a country, hopefully for myself as a person, and hopefully for the world as a whole. I guess I'm done. I'm spent. I've got more to do. I just wanted to check in, and this was, you know, one of my things to do today. Say, let's check back in with the podcast. Even if it's not pleasant or pretty, whatever. There's always the music, which is also on my list to do today. I've been trying to keep a calendar and marking it red of every time I write. And while I can't say that I've, the whole idea of don't break the chain, which was from Jerry Seinfeld, he got some advice not to break the chain, to write every single day, and every day make a red X that you wrote. And eventually it becomes a challenge to not break the chain. Well, I've broken the chain, but I've been writing a little bit more frequently, and yesterday I wrote, so today if I write, I will have not broken the chain, and I'll see what else I can do to keep that going. I mean, I got a fucking MacBook Pro here that I can take anywhere with me and write anywhere, and I've got tons of ideas, and I'm able to just sit there and let the ideas flow through and write them, so I just gotta sit down and do it. I'm just scared, 'cause of money, you know? That's why. It's tough. When you want to make music and you feel like that's your gift to give to the world, and it's just not good enough to be charging for or to be getting much compensation back, so you have to look elsewhere for your money. And me not being a conventional guy, the whole job thing right now is just not going to happen. I'm making my own way, selling my wares and my services. And eventually it gets a little scattered, or it's becoming a little scattered for me. And I'd love to have a more focused career where what I do is, you know, this. I can clearly say what I do. Right now, if you ask me what I do, I'd be like, well, I do this, 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 this. And, you know, all I want to do is one thing. I just want to create content that is music and write as well. I love to write. I really do love to write. And I love the written word, and you know, that in the form of lyrics, articles, thoughts, whatever. I love to write, and I think I have valuable things to say. And musically, I think I have valuable things to say as well. And so that's where it's tough. People don't realize how tough it is unless you're a fellow musician. And if you're a fellow musician listening to this, brother and sister, you know, you know. So let's I'm gonna post something about a team 100, which is something I'm creating that can help each other out to create a team 100, to have a true network, something about cultural capital and social capital that comes easy to different classes. You've got the uncle, you know, that can help you because he's had 10 successful businesses. He can help you get going. You want to get into this? Well, the family friend can totally hook you up with the connections to get you going. And that's the social capital that when you're poor, you don't have. And when you come from, you know, different classes, you don't have. And that's what keeps poor people poor. And not explaining away personal responsibility again, but integrating the systems that do play a big part. So I'm trying to figure out ways that I can help build a better system for myself anyway. And that's a team 100 that I'll be talking about on my integral blog, that I'm trying to build a professional team 100. And then I'm working on building a musical team 100 of people that can complement my musical skills, and we can help each other and really talk about the idea virus, you know, spread the idea virus. So look for that. And I'm going to leave you with some more Terrence Blanchard. This song is called Dear Mom. And I don't know the story behind this one either, but I got a feeling it's, you know, poignant. So let's listen to this. And I think it'll be in the right mood for where I'm at right now. And I'll try and report back this weekend about the podcast. Thanks for listening. And thanks for hanging in there with me. And thanks for supporting me. And yeah, if you need anything, you just let me know, okay? Because I can help other people as well, which sometimes is the best remedy for feeling down on yourself. All right, peace.